Hey, book besties, we're your hosts, Kelsey
and Nikki,
and this is For the Shelf Podcast.
Before we get started, this podcast is intended for a mature audience and may not be suitable for those under 18. Use of profanity is a definite, along with discussions of sexual themes and graphic content. Listener discretion is advised.
Before we get into our spoiler-free review of Wild Love, let's get into last week's bookish news. So the big thing that I saw that I think came through last night or this morning, Onyx Storm is finished. It's gone through its edits and it's off to the printer. So Rebecca came on to Instagram to celebrate that Onyx Storm is finally finished, and she went to Kona. And I only know that because I love Kona, and I recognized immediately the background and
Kona Grill or Kona Ice?
No, Kona Grill.
Oh, okay.
And I recognized like the background and the menu. So she went to Kona and got a watermelon margarita and celebrated it being finished. So I'm super excited because, of course, we knew that it was being released in January, but now it's official, it's done, and it's going to print. So I'm very excited.
I can't wait. That can't come soon enough. I'm planning on taking off the day after it comes out so that I can just read all day.
Yeah. Well, I really hope that Barnes & Noble does another midnight release.
I would imagine they're going to. I mean, the Iron Flame midnight release was so much fun.
No, I missed it.
You were having a child, though. You were actively having a child.
No, I did. I had just given birth. So, yeah.
I went by myself, and that was a really awkward experience, especially because I won the trivia. And the girls near me were giving me, like, evil eye.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I made up for it. I went to the Crescent City one, so.
True.
I will not be giving birth this time for Onyx Storm, so if they have one, I'm definitely going with you.
I will point out that your very good friend did drop off a copy of the book to you at, like, 6 a.m.
Yeah, you did.
This morning.
That's fine. Did. I'm sorry. She ate that. All right, so moving on. So now we have something that's more for me. You sent it to me knowing that I would be very happy, and I was for all of 5 seconds. So Black Dagger Brotherhood by J.R. Ward is getting an adaptation, and they just released the casting for it, and I went through and I looked, and I was not a fan of the cast, mostly because the twins don't look anything alike. Sadist and Fury are twins in the book, and they don't look anything alike.
Sadist?
Yes, his name is Sadist. And, like, he's obviously, like, they just announced who the actor is, so he's not in character. But no, they don't look anything alike.
And are they supposed to be identical twins?
Yeah. Well, that's them. Yeah. So they don't look anything alike. I don't know why they didn't.
Is this the book where they all have stupid names like Rage, James, Foreman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm excited it's getting an adaptation. I'm not super excited about the casting, but I'll still probably watch it. I read all, like, 57 books.
I have never read any of those.
Really?
Is it worth it? Should I read one?
It's vampire porn.
It's like, but I feel like it's written so long ago. Like, is it as young as, like, the modern, like, smutty stuff that we're reading?
I mean, it's nothing, like, fantastic, but it sucked me in, and I really like it.
Okay.
Yeah, they all live in a mansion together, and
it's urban fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll consider it. J.R. Ward.
Yeah. She's gonna go to Polycon.
Yeah. She's not on my list of authors that I need to see, though.
She's online. I have a couple. I did all audiobook though. I love the narrator. He's fantastic.
Well, I can do that, then I don't have to, like, donate actual time to reading.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll check it out. You're not just missing on the first one.
Yeah. Jim Frangione is, like, top tier narrator, and he narrates all of her books. So next is some good news for you and me. So Stacia Stark just announced a new trilogy. The first book is called Who We Will Die, or Who Will Die, and it's Vampire Diaries meets Gladiator, Enemies to Lovers, Slow Burn, with, it says, Power Hungry Royals with Vengeful Gods. And it was picked up by HarperCollins.
That's awesome. I'm glad she's getting trad published.
Yeah. So it'll come out fall of 2025. That's all that she released on her Instagram. But yeah, I'm super excited. They'll probably pick up the other series that she has. So nice to have that series picked up. I don't know if you guys listened to that review. I think that's one of my better reviews. Or this Cruel and Lovely. That series is fantastic. Go back, listen to the review. Give Stacey Stark some love because she writes excellent mac and cheese.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Although it's vampire. Can we write about something that's not vampires and not Hades?
Yeah, but
as a genre, like, can we just move on?
But they're trending. They're popular.
I know that, but it's like everyone writes vampires and or Hades.
Today, and we still read that.
Right, that's a different story.
Anyway, super excited for her. I love to see that she's becoming more well-known, and I can't wait to see her books out in the wild. Okay, next, Lilac Library just announced a quarterly romantasy book box. It's starting in March of 2025, and the waitlist is already open. So if it's something that you're interested in, go to their Instagram, click the link, get on the wait list. They didn't announce any type of books or anything like that, just that they're doing it, and it'll be quarterly.
I also saw that Midnight Whispers is opening up their wait list, too.
Yeah, a lot of people are. So I like Lilac Library stuff, so I will be checking it out and putting myself on the wait list.
Doing Serpent Ring Night. Serpent Ring Night is okay. I just saw it on their Instagram. Sorry if I ruined your bookishness, but yeah, I'll see that on
their Instagram. So I had something else that I caught right before I came for the recording, and I don't know for certain details, but I do know that Carissa Broadbent came on to her Instagram to say that a company called Penguin Book Writers is claiming that they worked on my books. She said she's never heard of this company before yesterday, and she's furious that they're using her name and books to entrap new writers into their predatory vanity publishing scam. She says, unfortunately, I'm sure they're not the only ones. Please be wary of companies that are claiming they've worked on my books and companies that are making big claims for lots of money in general. So they, I guess, said that
it's really effed up that they have the name Penguin.
Yeah,
because that's totally going to make authors
Yeah.
Really fucked up.
So she...
Yeah, I'm just going to scam.
Yeah, so she just posted that on her Instagram earlier today. And yeah, I think that's really messed up. Because yeah, she's starting to, again, become really well known. So they're trying to bank on that.
She deserves it.
She does. She really does. So the last thing that I have here, I'm going to quiz you a little bit.
Oh, I'm ready. Oh, trivia.
So I saw this on TikTok. There was an indie author. Her name is R.A. Sandpiper. And she just released her first debut novel called Pocket of Lies. I looked at the description and actually sounds pretty cool. But she just posted what her earnings were for the last 3 months since her book debuted. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think an indie author makes on their books?
Per month? I think it's so subjective.
Like, I don't know, like, the month that they initially publish,
it just depends. It depends on what kind of social media presence you have. Depends on if it's your first novel or not. I'm gonna say, like, not very much.
Yeah.
A couple $100, maybe.
So, let me ask you this. What do you think brings the authors the most amount of money? Ebooks, physical books, or being a part of Kindle Unlimited?
So I've heard that actually it's Amazon gives the most money back to the published, like the self-published authors. I don't know if that's true or not. But like Kindle Unlimited, you make like pennies like per page read.
Yeah.
So even if someone downloads your book and they only read 4 pages, you only get paid like 16 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the audio could possibly be. Like, I can't even guess.
Yes, so she did a breakdown. So she's an indie author, so she is self-published, but she works through Kindle Direct Publishing, so her books get put onto KU. So she did the breakdown for her ebook. So if you bought the book, you didn't get it through Kindle Unlimited, but you bought the book digitally, her book is $3.99, She earns $2.82 on that $3.99 title.
That's a pretty decent percentage. I mean, that's low, but it's a good percentage of $4.
For the last 3 months, she's made roughly $600 in her ebooks. For physical, her books were $9.99 because she just wanted people to buy them. She wanted people to buy them and read them. So they were $9.99. She got $1.70 per physical book.
But that's really unlikely that books are that cheaply priced on Amazon, though. Like, I just bought Stacia Stark's book, The Purpose, Cool, and Lovely, on Amazon because that's the only place it's available for purchase. And I paid $32 for the hardcover.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Kindle takes a huge percentage for them to strip out of the book, the paperback.
They've got to put out. Yeah.
So she made about $300 selling her physical books.
Okay.
And then KU, yeah, they do pages read. So you don't get paid if somebody reads your book, you get paid by how many pages they read. So she had about 60,000 pages read. Her book is about 500 pages. So she made roughly like $220 on Kindle Unlimited.
Did it say how many cents they get per page read?
No.
No.
So in this scenario, when you have a debut indie author, if you want to support them, it seems like the best way to do that, if their physical books are at such a low dollar, is to buy the digital one.
Now, a lot of indie authors, like Rebecca Kenny, I know I bring her up all the time, but love her. Like, she has an Etsy site, and you can go on an Etsy and buy the books directly from her, and then you can pay, like, an extra, like, $2 to get them signed or something like that. So I think that's probably also another avenue where there's that more money, I would think.
And I will say that this author lives in the UK, so that's, I think, why she went through Amazon, because of the worldwide shipping. So maybe that makes a difference on where they're located. But I thought that was interesting when I saw that breakdown and kind of how it works for debut indie authors. Now, obviously, like, the more traction she gets, she can raise physical books to a higher dollar amount and then maybe make up that deficit. But in her scenario, and probably a lot of debut authors,
how many months? So that was like, what, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
So she made like $1,000, a little over $1,000 in 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean, is that terrible then?
In her situation, I don't think she's even broke even from all of the things that she's had to pay for in terms of like marketing and promotion and
right.
her own art team and beta team and stuff like that. She's working her way towards breaking even, but
you know, that's something that I've seen. I'm going to kind of veer off to the left a little bit about like arc teams, that some people charge authors to read their arcs.
Yeah, I get it.
If you have like a million followers on like Bookstagram or BookTok or whatever,
but it's like that book influencer or whatever, Callie, I think her name is Callie, but she was getting canceled like the other week because indie authors were coming out and saying that she basically stole hundreds of dollars of products from these authors, because not only were they paying, like, she sent her price sheet to them. So not only were they paying her, but then they were sending her like book boxes for her to open up on camera. So they were sending her not only her books, but like all the things that go into those lists. And then she wasn't doing the reveal at all. She did it to like multiple authors, indie authors.
I don't know why we need to pay people to do this when there are so many people that are just willing to read the books for free.
Yeah.
But you want to send me your book? I'll fucking read it.
Yeah. You want to come on the pod? You want to talk?
We're not going to charge you.
No, but free of charge. Yeah. Yeah. First charge.
We can read it beforehand so we can like ask you thoughtful and or unhinged questions.
Yeah.
About your book, depending on what we thought.
And we will not charge you anything.
And if you're a big author, like, let's say, I don't know, pick, name a big author.
Name a big author?
Sorry, name a big author.
I think put me on the spot.
Like, I've never heard of an author before.
I know.
If you're a big author, like, you shouldn't have to pay. Not that, I don't think Sarah J. Maas pays anyone to read her books, but like, you Just do it for the love of the books.
Yeah, it's really annoying to me that with the growth of book talk in itself, a lot of people are coming in and are just trying to take advantage of the market and are doing the things like this book talker Callie or whatever her name is did. Because there's so many of us that are like super excited. Like the guy that was in the store this morning and showed you the article about how people haven't read a book in like a year or whatever.
Right.
And book talk, I think, is starting to help people read more and kind of get rid of the, especially with romanticy, get rid of the stigma of like reading romance or reading romanticy or reading science fiction.
As a bookseller, the trend in reading is literally being led by romanticy and romance readers.
Yeah.
That's the majority of what I sell in the shop is romanticy and romance and fantasy. And the majority of the things that I resell online, like high resale prices, are people that are collecting signed romanticy and all these like special book boxes. I keep saying that, like, you know, like women in their late 20s to like late 40s are now just driving the book resale economy right now.
Yeah.
And I do antiquarian book fairs every year. And I will tell you, I have old brown books and first editions of, you know, Faulkner and Vonnegut. And those don't sell, but my signed Sarah J. Maas is going,
so how many times is it when I come in to do the eBay listings that you're like, do you know, they're smut first, and then go to Newbury, and then we have, like, these really old, like, rare collectibles that take months to sell.
I mean, we've got those cool art magazines from the 1870s that were, the Prince of Wales, like literally, like, slices of history, but we get a first reading Agatha OG cover and that shit's gone in 20 hours or less, you know?
So
women, we are driving the book market.
If you want to support a debut indie author and you see that their physical book is less than $10, get the ebook. It's going to cost you less. The author makes more on it. Support them that way. And again, if you are an indie author or a debut author, and you want somebody to promote your book, just send us an email or a comment or a message.
We are happy to read your book.
And we will do it for free. You will have to deal with our unchained asses for an hour and a half, but we will do it. Okay, so let's get into our spoiler-free review of Wild Love by Elsie Silver.
At the time of the recording of the pod, it is currently rated on Goodreads a 4.10 with 141,000 ratings. This book was just published in April.
Yeah.
141,000 ratings is a lot. So that's a lot of contemporary romance readers.
He's trending on BookTok.
He sure is. So this is the first book in the Rose Hill series. The second one is already out, right? Yeah, because we have the controversy. Actually, you know what's really funny? Because of Kelsey's bookishness, I'm in this like Facebook group for other indie booksellers, and it's like, you know, you can ask questions or whatever. And someone posted a picture of all their copies of the second book, and they were like, "Should I send these back? They're damaged." And I got to go on there and be like, "Actually, they're printed there, honey."
Yeah. So yeah, that's the second book. There's another one I think that's supposed to be coming out either at the end of this year, or the beginning of next year, but. These are technically standalone in this series, but they're interconnected with her other one. So, like, Chestnut Springs has one of the books features Ford's sister in it.
And have you read any of her other books?
No, because remember we were choosing between Wild Love and Powerless? And Powerless is the first one in the Chestnut.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that our reading wheel came up with Cowboy Romance. So Kelsey was like, all right, well, this is our Cowboy Romance. There were no cowboys. There's cowboys in this romance.
Powerless actually does have a cowboy in it.
I was promised that. Anyhow.
Special edition.
So the special edition that's out there in the world, Bookish Box did it. It was just shipped recently within the last couple of months. Originally, the market was going crazy for these. You were easily getting $100 to $150. Market's kind of calmed down. Now they're reselling for about $85.
Yeah, I liked the Bookish Box one. I thought it was really cute, the cover.
Oh, I didn't pay any attention to it because there's no fairies in it.
Yeah, there's not. But it's a dock. I'm almost positive it's the dock.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
It is very cute. And I had canceled my subscription before it came out, so I didn't get it.
And did you get The Butcher and Blackbird?
No, because I canceled my subscription.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad. But I got my Serpent Wing Knight thingy.
That's what we used to call it. Like, I'm kind of sad about it.
Yeah. Before I can nail down the title, I used to call it Serpent Wing Knight thingy. I still have that one. And Gothica.
You didn't take it for
a shelf.
I mean, I'll give you some credit for it, but I'm not paying service for that book. I read Gothicana, guys. I read it. I read it because my dear, dear friend Amy, who doesn't even listen to the pods, she's never going to hear me bitch about this. She read it and she was like, it's an expensive book of the year.
It was awful.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
I didn't have to.
But no.
I didn't have to on like page 15. I was like, no, you can't, Amy. Zodiac was bad enough. Okay, let's get into the book description. She's been driving him wild for years. The good kind of wild. The kind of wild that comes with wanting your best friend's little sister and knowing you can't have her. Forbes may have labeled Ford Grant the world's hottest billionaire, but all he cares about is escaping the press and opening a recording studio in the gorgeous small town Rose Hill. Something that comes to a screeching halt when he ends up face-to-face with a young girl who claims to be his biological daughter. Now he spends his days balancing business with parenting a sullen 12-year-old, all the while trying desperately to keep his hands the hell off his best friend's sister, Rosie Belmont. After living in the city, Rosie came blasting back into town like a storm, beautiful, messy, and chaotic. And one wide-eyed, desperate plea for a job is all it takes for Ford to hire her. He vows to keep her at arm's length, tries to stick to scowls and grumpy one-liners, but with her verbal sparring is a type of foreplay friction that soon turns into blistering heat. Ford knows damn well he shouldn't cross the line, but shouldn't and can't are two very different things. And the only thing he truly can't do is resist her.
Okay, so quick summation, we've got the world's hottest billionaire, goes to the middle of nowhere, small town, to open a recording studio, and then Rose is the best friend's younger sister.
Hot Mom's Express.
Hot Mom's Express?
Yeah,
love that. Comes blasting into town.
Okay.
The genre, obviously, not a cowboy romance. There's no horses or anything, nothing. It doesn't say Western romance. It is not. There is no Westerning anywhere. It is an adult contemporary romance / small town romance.
Yeah. Okay, so the trigger warnings are unrealistic. And
I have cut that in.
I did not. I'm literally about the trigger warnings and the tropes. Oh my god. Okay, that is fucking funny, but so true. Death of a parent off page, severe mental health issues, depression related to a parent off page, and then of course sex. God, am I in for a wild ride with these tropes? Because I did not read these warnings. Okay, so for the tropes, it's a forbidden romance. Best friend's little sister, small town, billionaire, grumpy sunshine. Yeah, that's about right. We saw somewhere that somebody tried to say it was an enemies to lovers. I'm like, get the fuck out of that. I don't know what an enemies to lovers trope is if you're trying to say this is that, because it's
they're confusing the grumpy sunshine.
Yes. All right, let's go into our spice rating.
So I give this 3 jalapenos. There are multiple spicy scenes. There is, of course, all of the verbal sparring, foreplay, general friendliness throughout, slow burn. All the sex was pretty straightforward. You know, they're putting the normal things in the normal places.
Yeah.
They're doing it on the desk was probably, like, the wildest thing.
The paint.
Oh, the paint, yeah.
Paint. I gave it a 2.5 jalapenos. Yeah, it was very straightforward. I don't know, it was kind of boring. So, nothing like... Nothing too fancy, nothing that is, like, super hot for me, I guess. But, yeah, so...
It was just, like, sex between people that love each other.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
So.
All right, for a sweet pepper rating, I gave it a 4. Ford was super sweet. I loved him. even when they go back to the past when they were teenagers and what he would do for her was super, super sweet. I loved him. I really did. I did not care for Rosie. She kind of sucked. As far as, like, the romance piece goes, because, and I get, like, she's supposed to be, like, so oblivious to the fact that he's been in love with her for years. But even when she finds out, she doesn't do a single romantic thing for him ever. She breaks his laptop. She gets paint all over his office, brand new office. She, like, I don't know, like, she just didn't do anything.
She's a bride. I mean, and that's the whole thing, is that she's the bride and he is, you know.
Boyfriend turned ex-boyfriend around in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think she did anything super romancy.
The only thing I could give to her was that she helped take care of Corin, who's his, like, biological daughter.
So I give it 5 peppers because the book was so sweet. And there were so many cute parts. And it was just like my teeth were hurting because it was so sweet.
Yeah. Like I said, he definitely carried the majority of the romance in this book. I really wish I would have seen something on her end. But of course, we got really nothing from her. So,
yeah, the only thing that I could say, which you just touched on, is that, you know, he now has this 12-year-old teenage girl thrust into his life. And that's not being the teenage girl, but Rosie really, without ever being asked to, really kind of jumps into this co-parenting situation with him.
Yeah.
Without, like, any hesitation whatsoever, without any, like, recompense, just kind of selflessly, like, yeah, you've got this teenager, and I love her too, and I'm going to help. And I thought that was really, really sweet, because I don't think that that happens very often in the real world.
Okay. Now let's get into the smell report.
Smell report! My favorite part, sorry.
We need like a sound.
I'm editing out the screaming of the smell report.
No, I'm going to keep it.
So anyway, this was not that exciting about the smell report. So Ford, he smells like cedar, sandalwood, trees, and wood. And then, and I quote, "The scent of the incense I burned during my hippie phase and something fresher and brighter." And all I can think about is like the mug champa. You know, I don't know. It's like this kind of, this really cheap incense that we used to get at like the gas station to burn to like cover up the smell of tar and abandon. That's all I could think about.
Smoke when I was younger, so I don't know. To me, this just seems like you walked outside, you're smelling the outside.
Smelling the forest.
Because like they're in the mountains.
Well, he smells like sandalwood a lot. She comments on that a lot.
Okay.
Rosie, she smells like the lilacs that grow by the lake. Which, and she smells like lilacs. If he was like, she smells like roses, I would have thrown my fucking candle across.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't go down that road. The nickname was enough for me.
And I have no idea what you said. Like, you were like, I'm going to call you Nikki Wicky from now on. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, Rosie Posey?
Rosie Posey.
Yeah, the first half of the book, they're like, still calling her Rosie Posey as she's not like a 30-year-old. All right, let's get into characterization, plot, all the fun stuff.
Right, so if we're talking about characterization, like I open my Kindle, I download the fucking book, I open it up, and literally the first line of the book is, "Dude, Forbes named you the world's hottest billionaire." I was just literally like, I cannot identify with that statement any less. Like, any less. From everything in my hemisphere,
yeah,
but I was just like, oh, we're in for it. It's gonna blow.
Maybe set this up like that was gonna be a big part of the plot, and it really wasn't. The only people that kept referencing that was them. Like, there was no, you know, like girls lusting after him in the book. It was always more so like people were lusting after her.
And you know what? If you're the world's hottest billionaire, even if you're like hiding out in a small town, like someone's gonna find you. Like the paparazzi are gonna be there. Like I didn't think that the world's hottest billionaire, air quotes, could hide some of the people.
Well, no, and the fact that he'd been going there for all of his life. His family has a house there. Like his dad is like a world famous rock star.
Like there's property there. That's public like knowledge.
Yeah, they know that he's there. So, you know, I don't know. I could have definitely done without that piece. to this book and it would have been the same exact book. Like, a lot of times I forgot that he was supposed to have a ton of money until, like, they brought reference to the fact that he had a ton of money.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so for Rosie, yeah, I mean, she didn't do it for me as the female main character.
She didn't really come across as, like, a strong female lead. She came across like a brat.
Yeah, which is not cute at 30.
No, it's not. It sure isn't. Yeah, so the only thing was her willingness to, like, be basically a surrogate mom to Porter.
Yeah. I would be okay with, because I know that's a trope in itself. You know, I would have been okay with that had she been, like, 22, 23. Like, because in that space, that makes more sense. But when you're talking about either an almost 30 or a 30-year-old, no, we're not. The body thing, that's not cute. It's just kind of cringy to me. It just comes off as, like, you're seeking attention, almost. So, I didn't really like her character in the book. She just didn't really do it for me. Ford, I really liked him. He was, to me, a really, like, well-rounded male main character. He, you know, like, had, like, his, like, what did she call him? Like a dickhead or a dick? She was like his dick manager. And so he had that, but he was also, like, the way that he acted with Cora was super sweet. Like, he was really nice and, like, caring, but then was, you know, kind of almost like the touch her and die stuff. And I really liked him. I thought overall he was just a pretty, like, normal dude, especially if he's supposed to be, like, the world's hottest billionaire. Like,
he was really down to earth for the world's hottest billionaire.
Yeah, when you have a lot of these, like, billionaire romances, like, they're doms and they know how hot they are and they have, like, this, like, alpha attitude. And I didn't
think they're wearing their Tom Ford suits and then, like, rolling it up their forearms.
Yeah, so I really like that. Cora, I absolutely loved her. I want Scarlett to be her when she grows up.
Yeah, Cora was very cute. She was this other little storm cloud.
Well, yeah, she was very cute. The second book, I believe, is about West, which I think I would probably maybe enjoy that book a little bit more than
the West. Brother.
The West is the brother.
Rosie's brother.
Rosie's brother. Okay. Yeah. Willa is Ford's sister, and she already had her book.
Well, she's in the other book.
In the Chestnut Springs series. So,
which I believe that there is cowboys in that.
Yeah. That's the one that, like, Powerless is the first one in that. And okay. So we had to choose. We chose this one because it was more recent. And you sans your cowboys.
I'm just kind of into cowboys because I saw Twister, the new version.
Oh, God. I want to watch it.
Why?
Because the original was so good.
The original is so good. But I was there were people dressed as cows at the movie theater.
Did they have that scene in this new
one? No, they didn't.
See?
I have actual complaints. Sorry, this podcast has just digressed into a review of Twister. I do have complaints because, A, there were no cows, like, in the debris and the whatever. Like, they should have recreated that. And, B, like, there was no dramatic kiss at the end. Like, the whole thing is, like, the love interest with the cowboys and whatnot. And then they're in one thing and they were going to be together, and then they don't even kiss.
Well, in the first one, they were exes.
Yeah, but they still, like, have that, like, dramatic makeout at the end, and you're like, oh, everything's going to be
fine. Because Cow Lady left.
Anyhow.
The first one, like, there's two of them. The original will always be the best one, and I won't watch any.
You should watch the new one. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it.
I don't watch movies, and you're definitely.
Oh, that's true.
You're not going to convince me that that's going to be worth my one movie a year.
All right, it's definitely not worth your one movie a year.
No, I watch one movie. I didn't even go see Deadpool. That's how anti-movies I am.
I like Deadpool. I'm popular opinion. Not a fan. New Alien movie though. The Alien Ron and we're out. Dude, did I tell you that? Yes. Maybe other chances. They're not gonna spell that for you, but
exactly. But 8 a.m. in the morning. You're like, I'm telling you about some baby time in the Alien movie.
Like, my son, and I took Parker with me, and he was like, I'm gonna have nightmares.
I can see why.
Okay, so we're gonna get off movies and we're gonna go back to the first one. Okay. So we're talking about the characters, we've already talked about the characters. I have some questions. Unless you have anything else to say about the Rose and or Ford?
No.
Okay, I have questions. Okay. So Corey shows up at Sloane's door, and she's like, "Hey, I'm your biological daughter because you donated sperm to my mom.
Yeah, to go to a concert.
Yes. In exchange for $100 to go to it. I wish I could remember what band. I want to say the Misfits, but I don't think that was correct. Like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Rage Against the Machine, I don't have sperm. But anyway, I like it. Seeing, I don't think that that's possible to donate sperm and then just have it be, well, done. What is this? Are you okay?
What just happened to me? My mouth full of coffee. And you know, I just don't have sperm.
Oh, my God.
No, it's true. Okay.
Oh, my God. You're so glad.
I don't know. I was dying there for a second.
Okay. So, I just don't think that it's likely that, like, you would be told, like, who your sperm donor is, unless there's, like, open, like, you know, they have open adoptions or whatever. Not wording this properly. It's possible that she could, like, figure it out as a 12-year-old person who donated her sperm.
Yeah, but she said in the book that the reason why she found out was she uploaded his DNA for the ancestry tree for his aunt. And it popped because she put hers in. And so it linked them because of their DNA.
Oh, so she didn't get the records from, like,
her
sperm bank. Okay, so I went over my head because I had a whole thing about it. And I looked into it. And I'm going to tell you my facts now, even though they're not relevant. And so after 2005, well, before 2005, your sperm donation could be completely anonymous. Now it is not.
Okay.
So now after 2005, if you make a donation to the sperm bank in exchange for Rage Against the Machine tickets, when your biological child becomes 18, they get told if they ask who you are.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's my whole, you know, that there's, okay, well, I have nothing more to say about that then. Great.
Nothing to say to you about the sun.
Nothing.
Parents will get that. Okay, so if you didn't know, we obviously it's set in a small town. It's set in the mountains. This is actually set in British Columbia. So it's a Canadian book, eh?
Eh?
All right, let's get into our ratings and if it's for ourselves. Nikki?
Okay, so buckle up.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm gonna set the scene for you. I'm giving this one 3 stars. And it was fine, aside from the fact that it gave me, like, an existential fucking crisis. So I will preface this by saying we work at a bookstore that also has a coffee shop. We make cold brew. And the cold brew is slow-brewed for 24 hours. And then we put it on the counter. But literally no one on the staff is smart enough to check the cold brew when they come in. So the cold brew never, ever gets pulled out at 24 hours. So sometimes the cold brew brews for, like, 3 days. You're looking at me horrified. Yes, this is horrifying.
I mean, I know where it is in the refrigerator, but what does this have to do with the mountains
on the sun, with the mountain book, okay? So I accidentally drank the 72-hour fucking turbo cold brew, right?
Right.
Yeah, now everyone in the kitchen has to label it turbo so that I don't fucking drink it. So I drank this turbo cold brew at 7 p.m. before I left work, right? And then I go home and I'm reading this book. It is fucking 2 a.m. and I'm shaking and I can't go to sleep. And I finish this book and I'm like laying there in the dark, right? I don't have to go to sleep. I have to get up at 5:45, right? So I'm like turning all my lights off and I put on like the ambient music, the rain noises. I put the heating pad on my feet and all I can do is sit there and be like, this is real. This book is not real. People don't love like this. This doesn't exist. People don't like just single parent, like help a single parent, like parent anyone else. I'm like, this is just unlikely. No one will ever find love like this. There is nothing of love. I'm not kidding. And I came in the next morning and I told Jovi all of this. I was like, Jovi, I don't think men love.
I'm sure Jovi would probably agree with you.
So, not just like the thing, like, it's just, it's so realistic. It's more realistic to me than a fantasy novel is. Like a fantasy novel, you're reading it and you know that, okay, we're not going into through the wardrobe into another realm. And we're not getting abducted in the woods by our fairy mate. And we're not getting bitten by a vampire and getting eternal life. This to me, it seems like cruel to be like, it takes place in the real life. Stop looking at me like that.
Oh, did you accidentally drink the turbo cold brew?
No, I did not drink the turbo. I'm just this is a crisis of coming back to it's just, it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy.
the billionaire, like, the hot billionaire does not fall in love with the small town regular girl. I'm sorry.
I think
love does not exist. Was the whole point of my existential crisis at 2 in the morning that I'm blaming on the turtle.
Was this your boobs?
I mean,
maybe.
This is your boobs. It's not real. I just don't think that love is real like that.
I think it's more that it's the girl he's loved all his life from when they were teens and he was not the world's hottest billionaire. But, okay. I'll give that to you.
Okay, so anyway, 3 stars. 3 stars, that's what I put unrealistic expectations in the train warning. I'm only checking the call for everyone and I come to work.
So if you guys ever come to Shell, you should ask if the cold brew is turbo or not.
Because otherwise, you met at 2 a.m. be laying there in the complete darkness, like, upset because a billionaire doesn't love you.
Okay.
But I digress. Come to it. How many stars would you give this book?
I also gave it 3 stars. I did not have an existential crisis while reading it. I did think the first half was boring, though.
It was boring.
I did not enjoy the first half, but then we got really into the second half when all of the fun stuff started happening. So, I don't know, it's just standard, like, contemporary romance. There's nothing special about it. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't the best thing I've ever read. Is it for your shelf?
It's not for my shelf.
Yeah, I would not buy a copy.
No, it's not for mine either.
It's fine. I mean, if you're a contemporary romance reader, I think it was, like, a solid.
Yeah, I mean, so many people love this book and are, like, just, like, raving about it. And I can see why for some people. Like, if that's your genre, this is right up there for you. Like,
I don't know why you would torture yourself with contemporary romance all the time, but, you know.
Some people just like it.
I guess.
So, yeah, not for my shelf. But, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with the book. Like, I want to say that. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. So.
It's fine. It's standard.
Yeah.
It's a standard.
Yeah, it's just pretty standard. Now you have me all rattled now.
Okay, well, that is it for our review.
Join us next week for our review of Broken Bonds by Jay Bree. I do want to say, though, that there isn't really any spoilers to this book. There's one thing that I guess you could say is a spoiler, but it's pretty much like you could guess that it's going to happen. So if you want to stick around to listen to more unhinged conversations and questions regarding Wild Love, feel free. If not, we will see you next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Drop us a comment.
Yeah, drop us a comment.
Come on, guys, does love exist?
Yeah. Give us some stars. Follow us on social media at For the Shelf Podcast.
All right.
Now moving into the kind of spoiler, not really spoiler part.
Stage friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously the only thing that I think is really a spoiler is the fact that that he proposes to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What did you think of the proposal?
I thought it was stupid, but it's on brand for them.
Yeah, because, I mean, she continues to be bratty.
Yeah.
And, you know, not really take it seriously. And she kind of, like, runs away and it's like, ee! And
if you were the world's hottest billionaire, I think you can do better than proposing to her in a bathroom.
But after they pretended to have the lights go out or something stupid.
It goes back to, like, their childhood when they were messing with the Ouija board. So I understood that. But, like, and I could even say, like, okay, fine, like, they ended up out on the dock, but you should have just done it on the dock from the get-go, you know? Like, don't need to be in the bathroom.
I thought it was stupid. I thought the proposal was stupid, and it could have been so much cuter.
Yeah.
But again, yes, it was on brand for their relationship. One of my absolute favorite things, and we didn't mention this in the spoiler-free part, because I thought it was really cute, was that the emails back and forth.
Yeah,
that was probably the highlight for me.
That was really cool. And they were really funny. Like, I liked the little signatures that they had. That Happy day. Four was really funny, and the dick manager, and he's like, am I your clip manager? I thought that was cute, and that was pretty funny. Paint thing also, like, that was like one of her bratty moments, and she spills the paint and gets it all over the place, but then she gets the plaque made, and
yeah, and it says, like, you know, paint on
child love or whatever.
Yeah, and that is really cute. I also really like the juxtaposition of, like, you're getting the stuff that happened between them in the past via her diary entries and how she, like, rips them out and hands them to Ford. And it really seems to kind of coincide with what's happening, like, in their relationship currently. And I love that she's known forever that he's in love with her. But I love how she is falling in love with him in real time while realizing that she was always kind of in love with him back in the day. And I thought that was well done.
Yeah, I did. I really liked that. The journal entries were a nice touch. I do want to say the only part about this book that I was kind of annoyed with, and I didn't want to talk about it in the spoiler-free part, but was the attempt at the third act breakup, which is pretty standard for most, like, contemporary
romances.
If you're going to do that, do it. Don't hint at or attempt to do it, and then 3 pages later, you didn't do it.
So, the whole third act breakup, the reason is because Ford tells her brother that her ex-boss slapped her on the ass. Yeah. And, you know, the whole HR fiasco, and she was basically fired over this fiasco, but she never reported it to HR. So, let's talk about that for a second. If that happens to me in a corporate setting, you know, my boss slapped my ass, I'm uncomfortable with it. I tell him I'm uncomfortable with it. And, like, I say I'm going to go to HR. And he's like, well, HR is closed. I mean, right away reading that, I knew that he was going to do something to, like, access HR first. Like, why didn't you just write an email right then and there?
As somebody who worked in HR, it doesn't happen like that. Like, they're not just going to, like, they would investigate, obviously. I mean, but this isn't real life. You know, with your unrealistic expectations and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't happen like that. Even if they were, like, even if he wanted to, like, fire her for whatever reason, it doesn't just happen that quickly unless it's very obvious that a rule has been broken. But there's always an investigation into the first claim. And then if it came back that, like, well, he's trying to fire me because he was inappropriate with me for sexual harassment. 9 times out of 10, if there's a sexual harassment claim, they'll get rid of whoever the claim is against versus the person who made the claim, even if it ends up, like, there's no evidence. It's just easier that way for a lot of companies. Plus, there's always, like...
Yeah, but he was the head of the company.
It still doesn't matter. I mean, right. They have a board. Like, they would have a board and all sorts of, like, shareholders and all sorts of stuff like that. But, and then there's even a retaliation clause. So, like, even... if he tried to fire her and they couldn't come up with the claim, like, it would never happen in real life is what I'm trying to get at.
So. Yeah, because I thought that was weird, because if that were me, I would be, like, rushing to my laptop and writing a fucking email. And I wouldn't have taken that shit laying down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, I guess for the reasons. My throat is so scratchy from yelling about my existential crisis. Bringing that up was, like, do you think she was justified in being that angry with Ford?
Yeah, I think she definitely has a reason to, because and she brings up a valid point. Like, it's not necessarily that she didn't want Wes to ever find out what happened. It was that she wanted to be the one to process it and then tell him when she was ready to talk about it. That was the whole thing, was she wasn't ready to, because when she has her inner dialogue when she first shows up, like, out of the blue, she's like, I'm not, like, ready to discuss it. And I think she even says that to him. And he's like, okay. So for her, it was the trust. Like, she told him in confidence. And then he broke that trust.
So, like, just devil's advocate here. It was just an ass slap. It's not like... I don't
know.
I'm not comparing severity of sexual assault. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like, I could see being very, 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 very upset if you were raped.
But I think it signifies, like, the ass slapping, that he was just so, that he was more taken aback that she reacted to it, that it wasn't his first time, wouldn't be his last time, and stuff like that typically always escalates.
Right.
no means saying that one sexual assault is like less important than another. Like all sexual assault and sexual harassment is bad. I'm not comparing. It was a devil's advocate question.
But yeah, I think she had a reason to be mad at him. At least it just kind of went off the rails, I feel like, where like she had a valid reason to be mad at him because he broke her trust, but then she starts like throwing around that he has money and his name and like his influence, and then I think, yeah, that part was just kind of like, it's
because his brother got arrested, because his brother was involved in the scheme of like, so what Ford had been quietly doing was buying up the property wherever her ex-boss's like business was.
Yeah, within evicting him.
Yeah. So, and I guess he had West like drop off the eviction notices multiple times. And so West got arrested. And I think that's where she got angry, is because she's like, you have all this power and influence, and you're not the one using it to do good. You're using someone else to just like
be
petty and like revengeful.
Yeah. Which I mean, I guess I could see that, but I mean, Wes even comes back with Ford and is like, I wouldn't do anything that I didn't want to do type thing. No, and that's it. But again, that's my thing. It's like,
it was a flimsy third act. It was a flimsy attempt at a third act breakup.
Yeah. It didn't need to happen. But and the whole like, oh, buying up all the property, like that was just, I don't know. That was weird.
I'm forgiving it by any means. Can I just with that statement, as I said, but it just doesn't seem like property. How much property are you buying? Like, you've actually done this at least 3 or 4 times.
That's the
point, right? So, like, why wouldn't he just property costs? I mean, it was a large office buildings, like, that has to cost $1 million. What is
he doing? Buy into the company itself,
right? But buy out all the shares and then become head of the board and fire the dick, like,
yeah, that would make way more sense.
Unless it's not like a publicly traded company.
Yeah, it was like a weird thing that they spent like 5 seconds on. I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't great.
No.
But that's in keeping with the tone of the book.
Sure. All right, guys. Well, that is going to be our review of Wild Love by Elsie Silver. As always, make sure to give us a like, give us some stars, follow us on social media. For the Shelf Podcast, and don't forget to join us next week for our review of Broken Bonds by Jay Bree.
Bye, besties.